Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Pray. Father God, we thank you. Once again, we come before you, Lord Jesus, that we might receive instructions. We're asking God for revelation. We're asking God for insight. We're asking, High Everlasting Father, that you grant us wisdom and entrance into your world to build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we'll continue with hearing the voice of God. For me, this is a very, very vital topic. It's a subject that actually, if you can embrace it and come to the experience of what we're talking about, it will confirm to you your relationship with God, your position as His son, and God truly being your Father. I've always made us understand this, that when you use the word God, you're talking about a general concept of who God is. So, to the man in the street, to the unbeliever, to even the Ogun or Shango worshiper, God is God. Everybody calls on God. The Olokun worshiper, whatever, they all call on God. So God is a universal Father, in quote. But when you come to the kingdom, there is a personal relationship that you have with the Father or with God that makes you a father. I mean, that makes God a father to you. You becoming a son. So you move from just having God as God to God becoming your father. So the man who is not in the kingdom, God is God. But to you who is already in the kingdom, God is a father. These are different relationships that I need you to understand. So the universal language of God, you've gone beyond that application to where God is now your father. You remember the prayer that which we call the Lord's Prayer. When the disciples came to Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, reading from 10, and they say, "You teach us to pray." Remember that. You remember how he began the whole of the, whatever you call the Lord's Prayer, which is not actually the disciples' prayer, because that's not Jesus' prayer. But you know what he told them? When you pray, say what? Our Father. He didn't say our God. He didn't say our God. He said our Father. Yeah. So what it means to say it, you are now in a different setting, different from the world. The whole world see God as God. Everybody can call on God. Even the idol worshippers is call on God, Orisha, whatever. You understand that? But in the kingdom, God is not just Orisha. God is my Father. It's a different thing entirely. Now, if God becomes your Father, you can talk to your Father, and Father can talk to you. Amen. For those who call on God as Orisha, Oluku, whatever the case may be, other entities talk to them. Right? So, when you come to this dimension we're talking about, you should be able, again, you go to John 10, like we're saying, verse 27 and 28, remember that. My sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they know then the voice of Savior, they will not hear. Remember that. They will not follow. So, you can have God as God, and you can be hearing the voice of strangers. For instance, the man who have not been born again by the Holy Spirit, he can hear voices, but they are not from God. I mean, the Father. You see? They are not from the Father. That's the difference. But she hear my voice, I know them, and they know me, and they follow me. Right? Okay? Verse 28 again, and then, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But the key point I'm saying there is, they know my voice, I know them, they follow me. Is that okay? Get this point right. And they have to do with the sheep, not just everybody in the street. So again, you've got to understand. Do people hear voices? Sure. But where are they coming from? Like the man that worship idols and other. He can hear voices, right? In fact, when he's serving, he actually refers to God, even though he's serving idols. And they hear voices. So, but now the scripture said, my sheep know my voice. They hear, they know. The voice of strangers, they will not follow. So, I'm trying to say, if you can really embrace what I'm trying to share with you on hearing the voice of God, you live a life fulfilling, not just to yourself alone, to God, and beyond that, you have real faith. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of the Lord. Your faith will be so established because you can relate to the Father when He speaks to you. And Jesus will say, I do nothing except what I hear the Father do. Whatever the Father instructs me to do, that's what I do. So you must come to the place where your life is not based on what you think or feel, but what the Father says. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So I need you to take this subject very, very seriously. It's an anchor to your faith. So much so that by the time you come to the realization of what God is saying to us now, and you can embrace it and walk in it, you can't be moved by anything. Because once you hear a word from the Lord, no matter what anybody else says, you are not going to be moved by that. You know this is what the Father says. And I'm going to stay with it. Do you understand me? It establishes your faith. It puts you in focus. No man can shake your faith, like what you call every wind of doctrine. Can't shake your faith. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me give you an illustration. You know, we started speaking last week talking about reasons why we don't hear God. How many of you remember that? You remember that? Okay, so, but before I go into that, let me give you a simple illustration again about this, about Paul. Acts chapter 22, verse 17. About 3 days ago or so, was it Monday or so, the Lord just said, I should read through the whole book of Acts. I woke up and I started reading the whole Acts. I finished the book of Acts on Monday. And I started saying things. The reason why God said I should read through it, maybe because of this message. He just said, read through the book of Acts. So I woke up and started reading from chapter 1 to chapter 28. I finished the book. Though late in the night, because I have other things I need to do. But when I finished from service, well, that was Wednesday, I'm sure. Finished from service, I went back. I continued to start reading what God asked me to do. And I began to see the reason why God said, go through the book of Acts. And the next thing He instructed me to do, which I'm going to start very soon, is to also read through. In fact, He wants me to read through the whole New Testament. So I'm going to take every of these pages and go to go through them. Acts chapter 22, verse 17. This Apostle Paul. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Now, you listen to this. Because I made you to understand that there are dimensions by which you can hear God. Trance, dream. Is that okay? Right. Major decisions that I take, they come through trance. Even if I'm getting issues, I'm struggling on to find my footing in the decision to take, the Lord always come to me through trance. Then verse 18. I saw Him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for thou wilt not receive thy testimony concerning me. This clear direction. He is in Jerusalem and He's saying, hey, Paul, get out of this place. No matter what you say about me, they're not going to receive it. So, if you are sensitive to the Spirit, that means there are some people you don't labor over. As a pastor, There are some people you don't labor over. That's the problem. Now, if Paul was not sensitive to hearing and listening to God, he will be preaching in Jerusalem. But God said, go out of this place, because nobody's going to take cognizance of what you're saying when it comes concerning me. You just labor in vain. That's how to walk with God. Praise the living God. Verse 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat every synagogue of them that believe on thee. And verse 20. And when the blood of the martyr Simon was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee from hence unto the Gentiles. Direction. You know what Paul was trying to argue about there? You see, I did this thing. Let me try to clean out. Let me make the people say, I have repented. I have changed. Let me let them know I'm sorry for what I did. God said, forget about that. Get out of this place. I have a place I'm sending you to. Don't defend yourself. Don't come, you know, I don't know what language to use now. You want to paint pictures so that they can accept you. Forget about that. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Get out of Jerusalem. Period. Stop your dialogue. And that's what we do sometimes with God. God speaking to us, we're trying to give reasons why we should continue to do what we're doing. As if he doesn't know better. Verse 22. Did I say verse 22? Yeah. And they gave him audience unto this world, and they lift up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Now, these are the Jews now. They come for Paul. And as they cried out and cast up their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that they should examine by scourging, that he might know, therefore, the cry so against him. Brought him, let's whip him, and then we'll be able to know exactly. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion, that's too bad. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? And I showed you this some time ago. I don't know if it is here or when we're still over there, divine encounter. But I made you to understand. If you don't understand your faith, if you don't understand who you are, if you don't understand the position God has brought you into by reason of your redemption, the enemy will mess you up. If you read this story down, look at the next verse. And the Bible says, and when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take it, what thou doest to this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yeah. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. Hallelujah. And with that alone, they stopped to beat him. They stopped to scourge him. Everything. He was set free. Now, he was able to identify with who he was, his true citizenship, and the devil, in quote, could not hold on to him. If you can identify who you are, the devil messes you up. When you should be able to let the enemy know you are a citizen of God's kingdom. And I told you this before. There is no devil that can mess you up except God permits it, and it's for a reason. And it's not to destroy you. Never. So, most of the time where we try to do the things we do, binding and all of those things that we do, is because we don't understand our citizenship. We don't understand the freedom that we have in Christ, a kingdom people. Amen. Paul didn't do anything. He didn't go into prayer. I mean, are you going to scourge me? You want to flog me? You want to beat me? A Roman citizen? Huh? Who have not been condemned? That was all. So, your words to the enemy at any point in time is what set you free. If you know your rights, you can be messed up in this world. There's no devil yet. That's what the Bible said. No power is able to pluck them out of my hand. No devil yet, created or made in any form that can mess you up. If you understand who you are as a kingdom citizen. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? So, get the picture right. Paul, get out of Jerusalem. They are not going to take your testimony concerning me in this place. And he got that through a vision. Clear direction. A way to live. A what to do. Hallelujah. That's enough. If you can come to this place, I keep repeating, where you can hear God talk to you. It guides you. It directs you. Whatever decision you want to make. And there is nothing more precious in life than hearing God. Nothing more. Nothing more precious in life than knowing that God is talking to you. No. When we talk about coming to the place of rest, it is when you begin to hear God for yourself. Not when people speak to you. Listen, I always feel the only reason why people come speaking to you is because you are rebellious. You're not taking the will of God that is speaking to you. So you use other people to come talk to you. But if God is your father, he's not afraid of you. Why will he use people to talk to you? Maybe prophet, whatever the case may be. Amen. Miles Morrow will make a statement, late Miles Morrow. He said, once you know the will of God, you have no need of prophecy. And that's true. That's absolutely true. If you know the will of God, you have no need of prophecy. What do you need a prophecy for? Knowing that you're walking in his will. Why do you need a prophecy? Hallelujah. So, why is it that we don't hear God? Last week, I gave you a point. One of them was what? Rebellion. Isn't it? Rebelling against what God is saying. God can speak to you, but you still be rebellious to what God is saying to you. You don't take divine instruction serious. That's one of the reasons. So, he bypasses you because you know you are rebellious. He won't talk to you anymore. He would rather use foreigners to come talk to you. And what he does in that instant is he chastises you because you refuse to follow simple instruction. That's why I gave you the simple illustration why Ezekiel had to pack his luggages, you know, demonstrating how to go into captivity. Now he was going to use punishment to speak to them. Why? Because they refused to take his words. So when God talks to you and you refuse simple instruction, he chastises you. And he can use the devil to do that. 1 Timothy 2, I think I remember one and the last one. You know, it tells us precisely how many son Alexander who were trying to make shipwreck of the faith have committed to the devil or Satan for the destruction of the flesh that they might learn not to blaspheme. So the devil becomes a good instrument in punishing rebellious people, in punishing disobedient people, that they might learn not to blaspheme. So the one in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5, he says, so that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. When you refuse instruction, God sends an instrument of chastisement into your life. At that instant, you can't cry back to God anymore because he wouldn't even listen. That is why I always say this, there are some devils you can't bind. Hallelujah. You can bind them because they have to fulfill their assignment. Just like this case, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Gather the whole church to come and pray about this. It's not going to work because this devil must do a good job. And what's a good job? Must deal with this brother so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. Amen. So hearing the voice of God prevents you from those sufferings and pains and bondages that you get into sometimes in your life. And you'll be thinking one enemy is trying to do this, one devil is trying to do this. No, you're just being rebellious to the thing that God is saying. And so he will allow these enemies to chastise you. How many of you remember? I've said that several times here. The only reason why the children of Israel have to go to Babylon, right, was because Keep the Sabbath. Allow the land to follow. Walk this 6th year and the 7th year. Don't walk. Allow the land to follow. Israel will not listen to that. And he told them, listen, I'm going to make it such a way that the harvest of the 6th year will double so that you can allow the land follow and you can eat the harvest till the next year. I mean, the other year. They won't listen to that. And God said, okay, I'm going to allow my land to follow. So I'm getting you out of this land. Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, come this way. Take these people and put them in captivity for 70 years. After which they can come back. The only reason Nebuchadnezzar had the privilege to do that was because they refused to follow the simple instruction that God's given to them. So are you surprised sometimes that some of the punishment you are going through in the house of the devil is not because God is not there? It's because you are rebellious and God allows it. Amen. Hallelujah. I was speaking to a friend. I said, assuming God asks you to go to the village to go and do ministry, will you go? That's the question. Will you go? Because we always want to be in the city. We don't take instruction as where God wants us to go. Remember what he told Paul just right here. What did he say? They won't take your testimony about me in the city. So get out of this place. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. There was a direction. There was a place to go. In Acts 16 we read, wanted to go to Macedonia, say no. Wanted to go to Troas, say no. Go to Macedonia. It's not what you want. It's what he wants. Let me use the language of my people. Do you want to make heaven? If you want to make heaven, you must listen to God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? Yeah, you must listen to God. That's why you see, the way that leads to destruction is very wide, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And these are the things we're talking about. The narrow way is ability to confine yourself to what God is saying and what God is doing, even in your life. And don't you forget this, you are not like any other person. You are completely different. God deals with you uniquely, not like any other person. So if you tie your faith to people's opinion or people's thoughts, you're going to miss out. You will miss out in what God really has in store for you. Hallelujah. I was sharing this simple illustration with them in Lagos when I was ministering to the church there. I read the story of a king. The king had 3 servants. So one day he came with a golden vessel. And he called the 4 servants and said, break this thing for me. And the servant said, oh king, this is so beautiful. We can't break this. I can't break it. It's too beautiful. I said, okay. He called another servant. Break this vessel in my hand. The servant looked at it and said, oh, this vessel is very costly, oh king. We don't need to break it. Let's get something else. And then he called another servant, the third one, break this vessel. Without thinking twice, he smashed the vessel. He said, you see, this is the only servant I have in this house. All of you are rebellious people. I said break the vessel. You painting pictures for me, but I'm the one that said break the vessel. It's the man that obeys the king that is a true servant, not the one that stands before the king. The one that broke the vessel became the best among the servants. And the king more or less was like saying, get out of my sight because you don't listen to my instructions. I said break the vessel. I didn't beg you to paint the picture. It's my vessel. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the way God works. It doesn't matter. Follow the instruction. Do what he asks you to do. And then you get his favor. You get his protection. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So, let me take the next few minutes to talk about what we have today. Why don't we hear God? Why is it that we don't hear God? Spirit of stagnation. Last week I talked to you about rebellion. This one is stagnation. Why is it that we don't hear God? We are stagnated in our spirit, in our relationship with God. 1 Samuel 3, verse number 1. Help me, Father. 1 Samuel 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Now, I want you to get this. Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Listen, you are not serving me, and nobody serves me. If you are walking with me, if you are relating with me, you are serving God. Do you understand that? You are not serving your pastor. You need to understand this. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, or unto the Lord, before who? Before Eli. Understand, who was he worshiping? Who was he serving? God, but through the ministry of Eli. You can't serve your pastor. You minister to the Lord through your pastor. Especially if you are mentoring. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, that the word was scarce. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. This priest had a problem. Real one. And that because of old age, stagnation, he's come to the place where he can't hear God, he can't see. But yet he was a priest. I don't know if you're getting this. Compare this with Moses, whose eyes were not dim, that's by his age. At 120, he could see, hear God. Eli was old, blind, deaf when it comes to spiritual matters. And may that not happen to you, because you can be too old in a church setting that you think everything is normal, that you don't hear when God is talking anymore, because okay, now so will they do one. Now so it be. I don't know if you're getting this. But life is not about what God said yesterday, because what he said yesterday can breed worms. That's why the manna was not to be kept overnight. He said, when you get the manna, finish it today. Tomorrow, I'm going to send another manna. And that is what Jesus referred to Matthew 4 as the proceeding word. Man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. Your life is based on the current speakings of God, not just what he said yesterday. Amen. So here is a man that has become stagnated. He can hear God, he can see, he's aged. By implication, he can't even go and minister in the most holy place. Remember, he was a priest. Verse 3. And then the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Praise God. What's the next thing? That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called on thee, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou did call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Hallelujah. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. God speaketh one, yea, twice. That's three times. Job 33, 13, 14. I mean, if you remember that. Three times the word came. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord has called the child. Did you get this? Eli has come to the place where he can't hear God anymore. He's stagnated in his spiritual walk with God. By reason of age, demise, whatever. Samuel was not a young man. The word of the Lord was scared. That means at that time, Eli was still officiating. God seemingly was not speaking. The word was scarce. Now the word was coming fresh because he found a new person who can receive the word as a new prophet in Israel. The first prophet, to be very honest. After him was Nathan, as far as Israel was concerned. Is that okay? And so the word came the third time. Now there's a lesson you need to learn from this. Even if your pastor's eyes are dimmed, I'm just trying to say something. That is not for you to either run him down or get out of his tutorship or mentorship. You don't need to do that. Eli was old. Eli's eyes were dim. He wasn't hearing. The lamp is gone out. That is no brightness, no light. And the most holy place for that matter. Yet Samuel did not run away or run away from the tutelage of who? Of Eli. In the midst of that system, God spoke to him. You can hear God. So sometimes when you see people, they change churches every day. That is not what enables you to hear God. It's your mindset. Amen. Are we here together? Okay. You know when the Bible says the fire went out, Leviticus 6 verse 13 tells us, the fire shall never be, shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. So the fire should be there continuously. So what am I trying to say? You can be too old in a system to recognize and to hear the voice of God. You can be too old in a system, in your own spiritual configuration of what you estimate God to be. And what you feel is what I am used to, that God bypasses you. So here is Eli, who had been ministering as a priest, but he got to the point he can no longer hear God. It took a young, fresh blood in Samuel to begin to assess the heavens under Eli. I'm just wondering, why wouldn't God even tell Eli, just tell Samuel I'm the one calling him? Why wouldn't God do that? Here was a priest. Come on, is anybody following what I'm talking about? God did not even go back to Eli and say, Eli, tell him I'm the one. No. You can be too old that God will shift from you. You take the things of God for granted, he shifts from you. And locate the people who are prepared with a fresh heart to receive from him. Are you following what I'm talking about? This is a very delicate position to be. Don't be too familiar with the things of God. Hallelujah. Don't be too familiar with the things of God. Eli was already old. This is a guy ministering the temple. He was a priest, not just an ordinary man. Hallelujah. Rebellion, spirit of stagnation to terrible, terrible situations and spirit that you can carry that blocks you from hearing God. Are we together? I wish I can help you to truly come to that place of personal relationship with God. You don't know how much joy you can experience when God talks to you. When you know you are in His will, you don't know how much faith you can, you carry. Nothing. No matter what people say. Hallelujah. Somebody sent me a video before my wife posted it, sent it to me to listen to. A few days ago, somebody first sent it to me, one of my friends. Actually, it's Brother Peter that sent that video to me. I listened to the video. There was a woman that saying he was serving the devil for 30 years. And for the whole of those 30 years, he only go to churches to disrupt churches. And then he will go through the choir, he will go through the worshipers, go through the intercessors, and so on and so forth. Painted all of those stories. When my friend sent it to me, I just laughed. And I said, how many churches did she destroy for those 30 years? He didn't mention anyone. I was thinking you should have mentioned one. You didn't mention anyone. If you think you can destroy a church with voodoo's power or whatever, it simply means Jesus was not in that church. For His word is, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It means Jesus was not there. So, when pastor carries such things, I just laugh. It simply means they are not reading the Bible. It simply means they don't have faith in Christ. How can the devil come and destroy a church? How? The church built by Jesus, and He said the gate of hell cannot prevail against it. Do you know what that means? Gate of hell were where men used to gather the gate to decide, make decision. That means no matter how many devils come together to make decision about the church, as long as Christ is there, it can prevail. Hallelujah. I wish the church can really grow in the knowledge of the God Christ that they serve. The next thing I want to talk about you is thinking patterns, which is idols of the heart. Let's take 15 minutes to do this. Idols of the heart. Why is it that you don't hear God? We talked about rebellion, we talked about spirit of stagnation. The next one I want to talk about is idols of the heart. Ezekiel 14, reading from verse 1 to 7. Ezekiel 14, reading from verse 1 to 7. Then came the elders, sat the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. Son of man, this man, verse 3, set up their idols in their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I be inquired of at all by them? They want to make inquiry. They want to talk to me. They want me to talk to them. But can I talk to them when they have idols in their heart? When they have made up their mind? Can I talk to them? Verse 4. They will speak unto them and say unto them, thus hear the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel has set it up idol in his heart and put out a stumbling block of iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him, I cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Are you getting this? That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus hear the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away from the face from all of abomination. Verse 7, for every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me and set up idol of his heart in his own heart and put out his family block of iniquity before his face and come to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I the Lord will answer him by what? By myself. I'm going to give an answer. I'm going to control the mouth of the prophet to answer you according to the idols of your heart. So sometimes you confuse the prophet, you don't know because of your heart situation. That the word that a prophet gives to you are not real. God said, I will be the one to answer. What are the idols that we can set up in our heart? Look at verse 8 before I speak. And I set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and he shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. Idols of the heart. Preconceived opinions lead to deception and falsehood. Preconceived opinions lead to deception and falsehood. This is where you don't hear God. You already made up your mind. You've already, you know, settled so many things, in quote, even before you go to prayers. Not just talking about going to the prophet, but now you go into prayers, but you discover that there are certain things you've already made up your mind for. You are probably just going to approach God and say, can you put a rubber stamp on this thing for me? And God knows what you're looking for. Amen. I remember a sister once came to me and started praying for marriage or whatever in the office. I said, how long have you been praying? Mentioned. And there are many visitations, because normal, that's normal. Oh yeah, been to a lot of prophet and said this and said that. I was okay. Go back home and engage what I call neutral gear. You say, what do I mean? I said, go and take a neutral gear in your prayers. You know what the neutral gear is? When you're driving a car, it's on neutral. Doesn't go forward, doesn't go backward. Go there. Go back home and stay in such a position you hear God talk to you. All this multitude of information we gather from the prophet have no meaning. Every one of them was speaking, God was speaking through them, maybe, and giving you the idols of your heart. Because you're giving the kind of woman, I mean the kind of man you want to marry. You understand that? It's not the choice of a man now, I mean, that God has for you, but the one you already have. The man must be this, the man must be that, the man must be this. You understand that? You put all of those things together and then you want to go and pray. The prophet will just give you, oh yes, that's the kind of man that you are supposed to marry. Why have you not gotten that husband? Because you have idols in your heart. You have your own estimation. Hallelujah. But if you really want to hear God, you should be free. Idols in the heart, they come in various forms. Judgmental spirit, wickedness, gossiping, judgmental spirit, envy, jealousy, all of those things, they clog the flow of the spirit in your heart. That when God is speaking, you won't hear. Everything you will ever hear will be colored by this spirit that's already in your heart. Your business can be an idol. Unknown to you, can be an idol of your heart. The estimation and the value you give to your business can become an idol. You see what God is telling them? Go tell them to separate the idols from their hearts before they can come to me. Hallelujah. So, see, we're talking about hearing God. We're talking about things that will make you never to hear God. And if you dare hear God in this circumstance, it is contrary to what you expected. Sometimes, what you, okay, this one I'm believing God for, and you're walking towards it, struggling for it, you know, not out of faith. And then now you want to go to God. There's a place for the will of God. And the Bible says if you pray according to His will, He hears us. Like when we held the meeting here on PFM now, you remember what happened? There was a question. Oh, Jesus prayed and sweat was coming out of his body. Did I give him the answer? No. He sweat, yes. The sweat was like blood coming out of his body. But what did God give to him? God never gave him an answer. He sent an angel to strengthen him as he tell him, you are going to the cross. That is my will for you. Your prayer is not going to change that. He will have prayed himself to death in Gethsemane just because he didn't want to go to the cross. But God said, no, I sent you here to go to the cross. The cross, you must go. So angels, go and strengthen him. Go and encourage him. Give him some energy. Hallelujah. So it is not the volume of prayers. It is, are you praying according to the will of God? That's what matters. That's what counts. Angels, go and strengthen him. So if you use that template as a pattern for prayer, you're just wasting time. Amen. Come on, is anybody following what I'm talking about? You can't use that a template, because Jesus, God never answered his prayer to say, okay, yeah. In fact, he answered his prayer, but differently. What he was praying for is, don't let me go to the cross. God said, you are going to the cross, but this is my answer. Angels, go and strengthen him. He answered it, but a different form. And most time when we pray and God gives us an answer, we don't take that, because what we think we are praying for is so much belief. That's why when you read that Mark, the Mark 11 now, that we always talk about, whatever you pray for, believe and you receive. It's not always true. Amen. Why didn't Jesus get that? Not to go to the cross. As long as it's not the will of God, forget about it. You are not going to get it. If God does allow you to get it, it's on the permissive will of God. I don't have to talk to that. I'll touch it in as we continue with this in terms of the next one. I'm going to be talking about motivation. The reason why you pray, why you don't get prayers, is the motivating spirit that is in your life. And then we'll talk about, you know, that kind of rebellious spirit. When God gives you instruction, you will not want to follow it. Through greed, you get to where you are going to. We'll talk about that. Amen. So, you see, it's not about the volume of prayer. It's not about the noise you make. It's not about the tears. It's not about the blood pouring out of your body. That is not what enables God to answer you. If he's going to answer you, he answers you differently. And you don't take it to be the answer from God, because you think what you're looking for, you've not gotten it. But is that thing according to his will? That's the question. If it's not according to his will, you're wasting your time and energy. If you like, call a prayer conference. It's just like when the children of Israel were in Babylon. If Daniel has called a prayer conference before the 70th year, do you think God will answer them? No. Because God already said, you're going to be in Babylon for how many years? 70 years, period. And so, when Daniel saw that, he doesn't need to bother himself. Daniel can say, I understood by the books. What books? The Bible, the scrolls. He read the book of Jeremiah, that is written clearly, the 70 years you're going to be in Babylon. And so many of you don't understand how to take the word of God and take it back to him. So that is exactly what Daniel did. He took the word and said, remember, you said 70 years. Now it's already 70 years we'll be here. Can we go back home? Simple prayer. Forgive the sins of our parents. Let us go back home, because now 70 years. And that's all. He didn't call for the whole Israel to come and pray. That's why as an intercessor, you know the will of God. You speak the word of God back to him, and the answer comes. It doesn't require volume of people to get answered from God. Praise God. Are you listening to me? And so, simple words, Daniel chapter 9. Israel will release. Why? Because 70 years has come. Now that makes you understand. If you are not reading the Bible, you can't know what God says. And so you pray amiss. If Daniel was not reading the book, he would not be able to understand. And they would have stayed beyond 70 years if Daniel had not discovered that. That is why intercession is important. That's why God is only looking for a man who knows his will, so that we take his will back to him. So you see, if Daniel had not discovered that, they would have remained there. But God says 70 years. So he needed an intercessor who can discover the will of God and speak it back to him. And that's the answer. It doesn't matter whether the whole church was gathered or not. If you come here to pray and you know what you're praying about, and you know that this is God's will for the church and for the whole life and for people, speak it, whether you're one or two. You don't require the whole church to be an intercessor. Daniel did not require the whole of Israel to do that. It's just a matter of knowing the will of God. Are you there with me? So Jesus spent all his time in Gethsemane crying and wailing before God. Take this cup from me. But if not thy will, not my will, Okay, God said, yes, it's my will. The copy is not going. But for you not to faint and die here, angels go strengthen him. Now, I told you this, the same reason why Moses and Elijah appeared to him on the Mount of Transfiguration. How many of you understand that? Because the burden of the flesh was upon him not to go to the cross. And so, what happened? Moses and Elijah appear and say, hey, brother, you got to go. We spoke about you. We wrote about you that you are supposed to die on the cross. If you don't go to the cross, our testimony is falling down. So please be strong enough and go to Jerusalem to die there. And so, when he now finally, the awareness has come to him, strength has come to him, and then Matthew 16, they were discussing now. Remember the story? And he now talked about his death in Jerusalem. What's the next thing? Peter said, hey, this must not happen to you. Bible says he rebuked Peter. I mean Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know why he said that? You're trying to discourage me again. I managed to struggle in Gethsemane and he encouraged me. Now you're trying to discourage me not to go to the cross. Get thee behind me. Peter was not Satan. That's not what he was saying. But the thought is fleshly. Why? Because it's not according to the will of God. The will of God is I must go to Jerusalem. The flesh is saying, don't go. Satan, the flesh, get thee behind me. You can't stop me anymore. Did you get it now? So it's not about the volume and the noise, the thundering, the lightnings, the storm, the wind. No, that is not what prayer is all about. Prayer is, if you pray according to his will, what happened? He heareth you. We know that when we pray, he heareth us. Why? If we pray according to his will. Hallelujah. So, why is it that you don't hear God? Idols were in your heart. Your thought patterns. Your thought patterns that are contrary to the mind of God. And some of you sleep with such thoughts in your hearts. And you expect God to visit you in the night? No. No. You see, walking with God is so easy. It's so easy. If you understand what it means to walk with God, it's so easy to walk with God. It's not difficult. That's why I say my commandment is not grievous. It's not difficult to walk with God. Remember that in Genesis 17? Right? Remember what God spoke to Abraham? He called him and make a father of many nations out of his nation of the earth be blessed. And then he got into confusion and said, oh, Eliezer, this is my house. You know, he's the one that my son, I've not got him. God said, hey, come on, listen to me. You better walk with me and be that perfect. Not all get matured. Think about what I told you. Stay with what I told you. That's maturity. Walk with me and be the prophet, Abraham. Stop confusing yourself. Stop thinking about Eliezer being your heir because you have no child. I'm the one I promised you. Believe me for what I said. So what do you think we need? Our heart must be open. We must get idols out of our hearts. Our thought patterns must be straight if we must get answered from God. Hearing the voice of God means we must take away idols from where? From our hearts. Otherwise, God will be giving you answers that are contrary to his own will because that's what you want. And those answers will lead you to destruction. I'm going to show you that next week from the book of 1 Kings chapter 22. If you remember the story, amen, when several prophets came and prophesied when Ahab was to be destroyed, a lot of prophets came and said, oh no, you're not going to be destroyed, you're going to win the war. Only Micaiah came and said, as far as I'm saying, you are not going or coming back. Right? And they said, okay, put him behind, lock him up until I come back from the war. But he never came back. Remember that. That is what we're saying. So, it's not about the prophets. The question is, what are the prophets saying? Is it according to God's will? Is it the mind of God? Hallelujah. And how many prophets prophesied that Ahab would go to war and come back, as compared to one prophet who came and said, no, you are not going to come back. Only one out of thousands. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So it's not about what the prophet says, it's about whether is it really God's word. Praise the living God. Is it God's word? Can you test it and prove it that this is God's word? Very vital. So friends, get idols out of your hearts. Hallelujah. And get out of stagnation. Don't be so used to this system. Don't be so used to, oh, what, this is the way it is. No. Live by what? The proceeding word. Let the word of God not be scarce in your days. Let it not be scarce in your days. Like Isaiah, 1 Samuel, we're just reading, the word was scarce in the days of Eli. But Samuel, in the midst of scarcity, can hear God. So when there's famine of the word of God in the land, there are some people who can see, receive from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Have I helped you tonight? God bless you. I love you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.